Good morning. I always count it a privilege when I have the opportunity to stand before the congregation here and teach from God's Word. I have a good preacher sitting over here beside us, but the doctors don't let him preach today, so I get to preach for you today. We're glad to see you back, though, for sure. Our lesson today comes from the 11th chapter of John. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. And our subject today is Lazarus, come forth. In the third verse of John chapter 11, we're told that Lazarus, the beloved friend of Jesus, that Lazarus got sick, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent Jesus this urgent message. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. It's clear that from this chapter and from various other scriptures that Jesus had a special attachment to this man, Lazarus, and to his family, his sisters, Mary and Martha. And no doubt when the sisters sent this message to Jesus, they hoped that he would come immediately to their home in Bethany and heal their brother. Yet when Jesus received this message, he delayed his departure. Obviously, as the Son of God, Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. Yet he intentionally waited 2 days after learning of Lazarus' sickness before going to that family. And because Jesus waited those 2 days, he ended up arriving 4 days late, 4 days after Lazarus had been placed in the tomb. That hardly seems like the way you would treat your best friend. Yet we must remember that there's always purpose behind everything that Jesus did. John chapter 11 and verse 4 gives us an indication of that purpose when Jesus said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." We see that Jesus departed for Bethany, and as he got near the home of Lazarus, he was met by Martha. And Martha grieved that Jesus had not gotten there sooner because she believed that Jesus could have healed him. Then Martha went and found Mary, and Mary came and greeted Jesus as well. And I want to pick up at John chapter 11, verse 32, and read through verse 45. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. If you go back to verse 14 of chapter 11, that tells us that Jesus knew before departing for Bethany that Lazarus was already dead. Jesus also knew that he would be arriving 4 days after the death of Lazarus. But what possible reason could Jesus have had for arriving so late for the death of his friend? The obvious answer is that Jesus wanted Lazarus to have been dead 4 days by the time that he got there. But why? Why would he want this? Well, you see, the Jews had a tradition about death. Now, this isn't in Scripture. This is a Jewish tradition. And that tradition said this: until 3 days after death, the soul keeps on returning to the grave, thinking that it will go back into the body. But when it sees that the facial features have become disfigured, it departs and abandons the body. In other words, there was a Jewish tradition. We might more appropriately call it a superstition, that people weren't really considered dead until after they had been in the grave for 3 days. And so, to avoid any question about the miracle that Jesus was about to perform, he waited until the 4th day. That way, when Lazarus rose from the dead, everybody would be convinced that this truly was a miracle. Now, we see in the Gospel of John, that John records only 7 signs or miracles of Jesus. We know that the other Gospels record many more. However, John focuses in on these 7 signs. And raising Lazarus from the dead, that was the 7th sign of the Gospel of John. And let me illustrate very simplistically what a sign is. We're all aware that when we're driving down the road, there's going to be all kinds of signs on the road, or to the side of the road. And what purpose do these signs serve? Well, some of those signs are going to tell you where you are. Some of the signs are going to tell you perhaps where you're going. And some of those signs are going to tell you how fast you can go in order to get to that destination. Those signs tell us things about the road that we're traveling on. Now, the signs that John listed in his gospel were designed to tell us who Jesus is. So what is this sign telling us about Jesus? Prior to raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus told Martha in John 11 and verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus came to be our power of resurrection from the grave, that he came to be our source of eternal life after resurrection. Jesus is our power of resurrection. He is our source of life. Jesus literally came to take away the power of death. That's what Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 15 tells us as well. Let us read that. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," speaking of Jesus, "he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." I think you probably have noticed that people don't like to approach the subject of death. They don't like to talk about it. They think it's kind of unnatural and abnormal to talk about it. And those who face death often see it as a step into the darkness and into the unknown. According to research, the fear of death is one of the greatest fears that people have. Aristotle called death the thing that he feared most, because it appears to be the end of everything. Chinese superstition said that if one even mentions death, then they're asking for death to come upon them. And while we Americans, when we claim that we have no superstitions about death, we really do. You'll see people avoiding the topic of death all the time. Sometimes they won't even make arrangements for their own death, often not even having a will or a burial plot. They think if I don't talk about it, if I don't prepare for it, then it won't happen, because they really do fear death. But Jesus came to deliver us from that fear. He came to offer us a resurrection from physical death. He came to give us life beyond the grave. Jesus came that we might no longer live in fear. So back to our story. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And after Lazarus was raised from the dead, people were so impressed that they came from miles around just to see Lazarus. John 12 and verse 9 says, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead." So, the reason Jesus delayed coming to the funeral of this close friend was to display his glory as the Son of God, and to demonstrate his power over death. And Lazarus became the proof that Jesus was the power of resurrection and the source of eternal life. That is why Lazarus is such a memorable character. Let me give you a quick quiz. And you answer this in your mind if you can. How many of Jesus' 12 apostles can you name? Now, we got to admit that these are important people. You could even say that they were the founding fathers of the early church. And yet, it's not likely that every one of us can remember the names of all these 12 apostles. After all, once you get past Peter, Andrew, James, and John, there's not enough biblical events involving the remaining apostles to make them memorable. But now the name Lazarus, that's likely a name that every Christian knows. We remember his name because his resurrection is central to Jesus' message. Remember what Jesus said to Martha in John 11, verse 25? "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And Lazarus is a living testimony of the truth of that statement. That's why we remember his name. Lazarus was such a powerful witness for Christ that even Jesus' enemies paid attention to Lazarus. John 12, verses 10 through 11 says this, "The chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." Now, this next story that I'm about to share is not found in the scriptures. I don't really know if it's even true, but it's a story that's been passed down through the ages about Lazarus. And the story goes like this. Sometime after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, he was brought before the ruler of the region where he lived. And he was given governor of that region demanded that he renounce his religion or else he would die. And Lazarus began to laugh when the governor threatened him. When questioned on why he laughed at someone who had the power to execute him, Lazarus said, "I've already died once. I no longer have fear of death. Now, if we use the language of today, if Lazarus used the language of today, he might have told that governor, "Been there, done that. I own the T-shirt." And so Lazarus laughed. How do you threaten a man with something that God has already rescued him from? Jesus loved his friend, and he gave Lazarus a story of God's power in his life, a testimony that defined who he was for the rest of his life. The reason Jesus waited while Lazarus died wasn't because he was being cruel. It was because he was going to make Lazarus one of the most powerful witnesses of Jesus' power over death and the grave. And in a very real sense, that's the same witness that Jesus gives to you and me if we are Christians. Let me repeat that just in case you missed it. In a very real sense, that's the same witness Jesus gives to you and me if we are Christians. Romans 6:1-6 teaches us that when we are baptized, our old man of sin is buried in the waters of baptism, and the new man is resurrected to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4 kind of summarizes that passage. It says, therefore we, he's talking about Christians, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Let me illustrate the importance of Romans 6, verses 1 through 6. It's a story that Jeff Streit, a gospel preacher, tells. He described a funeral that he spoke for, a man named George. George was originally a man who drank heavily. He cursed profusely, and he could fight with the best of them. He was such a violent man that he threatened to kill the local preacher when he dared to talk to him about Christ. But eventually, George became a faithful Christian. And at his funeral, there was standing room only. And in his eulogy, this preacher explained that when George became a Christian, his favorite bar held a wake for him. Why? Because George had died to that bar. He had died to all sin, as a matter of fact. He had been buried in the waters of baptism. He had been raised to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, George had a testimony of what God could do for man in his life. You see, when we too are baptized, that's what happens to us. We die. We die to our past. We die to the sins that we have committed. We die to controlling our own lives, and we turn our lives over to Jesus. When we are baptized, the old man of sin dies and is buried in a watery grave, and the new man of righteousness is resurrected from those waters to walk in newness of life. Just like Lazarus arose from the grave, every believer is raised from the waters of baptism to live a new life. Now, one last thought. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead not only as a testimony to those who lived in his day, but also as a witness to us as well. Kind of an assurance to us of God's promises. You see, just days after raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to be put on trial for his life. He was going to be beaten and whipped, and then he was going to die the cruel death of the cross. He was going to be buried in a tomb, and he was going to arise from the dead on the third day. All that being true, why was it so important to raise Lazarus from the dead? Well, if Jesus were the only one to rise from the dead, would that be enough proof that we too would be resurrected? Well, it should be. I would think it should be. But then some people might say, Jesus is God, of course, he can arise from the dead. But I'm mortal, and every mortal is going to die. And all those who have died are still in the grave. So in raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus was allowing us a glimpse of what he was going to do for each one of us if we are Christians. I want you to listen very closely to Romans 8, verse 11, it declares this: if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Now, I want you, that phrase, that long phrase, that's talking about a Christian. That's talking about a follower of Christ. And let me read that again. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Isn't that remarkable? The Spirit of God who resides in you, the Christian, is powerful enough to bring us out of the grave. And this is such a central theme in Scripture that it's also part of the salvation experience of every person who becomes a Christian. That's why baptism is so important. Baptism loudly declares our spiritual resurrection, and it foreshadows our physical resurrection at the end of time. Lazarus' physical resurrection is a proof of the promise found in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55, a scripture that you often hear at funerals. Let me read that to you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? As we close, I want you to remember that Martha and Mary and many of their friends believed that Lazarus would not have died if Jesus had been there. Certainly healing sick Lazarus would have been a great miracle, but Jesus had a greater purpose in mind. By raising Lazarus back to life, a man who had been dead for 4 days, Jesus gave the world undeniable proof that He was indeed the resurrection and the life. You know what? It's a good thing that when Jesus came to Lazarus' grave, that He shouted, "Lazarus, come forth." Because if He'd simply said, "Come forth," every grave in the area would have opened up. But you know what? At the end of time, when the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns, every grave will indeed open, and Christians will arise to meet Jesus in the air. That promise is reflected in the resurrection of Lazarus, and that was his testimony. And that is our testimony as Christians as well. So the questions that each of us have to answer this morning are these: have I acted on my faith, repented of my sins, and been baptized into Christ? Am I continuing to obey and faithfully follow the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know, if I want to be a part of that triumphant resurrection, we need to be able to answer those questions with a resounding yes. So if we can help you this morning in answering those questions in the affirmative, please come forward while we stand and sing.